At Arizona State University, we offer a wide variety of degree programs online to match all kinds of interests and career aspirations. Programs that are taught by the same notable faculty who teach on campus and designed using innovative technology to improve learning outcomes and equip you for post-graduation success. That's why 87% of ASU online graduates indicated they were promoted at work or received an increase in salary after earning their degree. Find your program at asuonline.asu.edu.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today
FM. So, of course, we're in the countdown now to the local and European elections, which are taking place on Friday, June 7th. But how do the candidates best reach potential voters? I'm sure wherever you are, have seen loads of posters for various candidates up on lampposts imploring you to act for that or to vote for that person. But is that the best way of actually securing a vote? Or could it be that in the modern digital era that social media advertising spending is a better way of getting your attention? So we've two guests with us. In a moment we'll talk to Liz Carolan from thebriefing.ie. But first, Gary Murphy, Professor of Politics at the School of Law and Government in Dublin City University. The old-fashioned traditional poster on the lamppost, does it still work, or could it be that it works as a deterrent to those who don't like to see them there?
It certainly could be the latter, Matt, for those who have no interest in politics and are not going to vote or have very little interest in how the democratic process works or have any interest in it at all. But for those of us who are interested in the democratic process and who think elections are important, well, posters are really crucial. And the reason for that, Matt, is they are public. We may talk about social media in a minute as an alternative, but social media, although public to anyone who wants to actually go on it, is done privately by people posting on their phones or tablets or computers or whatever. But the public space, I think, is important in our democracy, that it is used when elections come around. So, for instance, we might be, me and you might be a bit obsessed with politics, but many people aren't, but still would like to vote. How are they supposed to find out about new candidates? How are they supposed to find out about new political parties? How are they supposed to get their information? And a whole range of things, even if we look at referendums and some of the issues there. Now, of course, some of these posters can be misleading when it comes to referendums, but that's another story. But certainly in terms of candidates and at election time, I am a strong believer in posters, and I find those people who think, like some various Tidy Towns committees and others, that posters are an irritant or a litter, are really missing the much wider point that our democracy matters. We have a chance to vote every 5 years in local and European elections and give or take 4 years or so in general elections, and people need to be informed, and I think postering does that.
Okay, what makes for a good poster, do you think?
A bit of colour, certainly, and of course, you know, various parties have various colours. Social Democrats, the new party on the block with their sort of distinctive purple, Labour, red, Fianna Fáil, green, Fianna Gael, blue for the most part. Obviously, you know, facial recognition and name recognition is hugely important in elections, and that's why I think posters are crucial. And of course, the more you have, maybe the better, certainly, and that can help candidates and parties who have more resources. But we've been here once before. The late Mary Benotti, who died only last week. So early on in her campaign for the 1997 presidential election, Fine Gael weren't that keen on posters, and suddenly they found themselves basically anywhere you looked, you had posters for Mary McAleese, and they quickly changed their minds. But they were a bit late to the game in that particular instance. But I think not everybody is on social media, Matt. There could be literacy issues, age issues. So in that context, I think the public nature of postering, as I said, and the importance of them for civic duty is important.
But yet, Liz Carolan of thebriefing.ie, is there an increased emphasis by political parties and individual candidates on social media spending on things like Facebook, for example?
There's certainly quite a bit of money going into that, Matt. So in the last week or so, we've seen about €30,000 spent across the European and locals by Irish candidates. That's just on Facebook and Instagram, and then more being spent on Google as well, although their data is a bit harder to track. So it's certainly being seen, I think, by a lot of candidates as a good investment. Especially, I think, in the Europeans, where, like, if you take the Midlands Northwest constituency, that basically goes from, you know, Maynooth to Donegal, and then Ireland South is from Greystones to sort of West Cork. So you have a big area to cover. Posters are expensive. You can run a political ad that can reach thousands of people for, you know, 100 euro, a couple of hundred euro at most. So it can be a very good investment. I think the ability to have video and kind of dynamic images, and to sort of be able to run different, you know, different types of ads is very attractive to candidates as well.
Do we know which parties are putting greater emphasis on social media advertising and who have the money to spend on it?
Sinn Féin are the biggest, you know, if you look back to kind of the beginning of the campaign a couple of months ago, Sinn Féin are the biggest spender by party. They have been spending really quite consistently since before Christmas. They're up to about kind of 40, 50,000 euro. A lot of that, though, is being spent by the head office sort of on the main party account. So a very centralised sort of strategy there. Next up would probably be Fianna Fáil. They seem to have a much more localised strategy. So the ad spend isn't going through, you know, the main Fianna Fáil Facebook page or Instagram page. It's coming from the candidates themselves. And we're actually seeing Fianna Fáil are running multiple candidates in a couple of the MEP constituencies. And we're seeing those candidates spending a lot of money. Fianna Gael have just started upping their spending in the last couple of weeks. And what we're seeing from them is really quite highly produced, slick looking videos of their MEP candidates, and clearly quite a bit of help there coming in getting those to be good quality. And then for the smaller parties, we're seeing again much more focused on the candidate level, and, you know, the likes of Labour seems to be putting all their money behind their Dublin candidate, and we're seeing a similar pattern for some of the other parties as well.
Liz, is there any evidence to suggest that in previous elections, such as the 2020 general election, that advertising on social media actually worked for some parties better than others?
It's very hard to tell. I've gone through the last European election, which probably feels like one that's similar enough. And if you look at the overall spend that candidates would have invested in their campaigns, like the winning campaigns went from, this is not just on social media, this is across the board, you know, say 36, 37 grand, right up to 200,000 euro for the successful campaigns. But then if you look at the unsuccessful campaigns, they spent about the same. So, you know, you have a 200,000 euro campaign that won and 195,000 euro that was spent on a campaign that didn't win. So I think, you know, it's not the be all and end all. I mean, I think we're lucky in Ireland that money, you know, isn't the only thing that matters. But I do think, you know, as Gary said there, name recognition is extremely important. Most people aren't thinking about the elections most of the time. And if you're a candidate, what you want is when somebody walks into that polling station and they have a look down at the list, that they see your name, they recognise you, and maybe they have a positive association with you. They kind of know what you're about. And with online ads, you know, like I've been looking at loads of them, and it might be a candidate standing in the town square after running for a local election, or standing beside somebody recognisable, you know, they're in the mart, or they're standing in front of the Poolbeg Towers, whatever it is. But just so that name is out there, the face is out there, it's associated with something positive. Because for most people, you know, it's that, just that question of looking at the list, and especially in Ireland where we, you know, it's not just your first preference, which you might have put a lot of thought into, it's the second, third, fourth, fifth preferences which matter.
A lot of comments coming into 0874100102. One says the election posters are a road safety hazard. It isn't campaigning, a single use plastic pollution by all parties, a waste of resources. Another, there's quite a few along those lines. But then another one says, to be honest, I don't want my social media flooded with political candidates. Also, I've noticed I'm becoming more familiar with the candidates when I'm stopping at junctions and lights, I guess because I can't just scroll past. I'm definitely retaining more of the names and the associated parties, which would suggest that that's a good reason for it. Gary, there's another one here from Roisin who says, I teach a voter education module to adult learners to get people to register to vote. And the most frequently asked question we get is, where can they go to find out more information about candidates? Why is there not a central website listing all the candidates in your actual division where you can read about them? I teach learners with literacy and language, and websites are much more accessible as we can use read-aloud technology and translate into other languages. languages easily. What about that point of having some sort of centralised database or declarations by candidates so people can know more about them, Gary?
Yeah, that's a great idea, Matt. And actually, I'm involved in a group which actually is doing that. It's called whichcandidate.ie. And I can talk about it again maybe closer towards the vote. My colleague Rory Costello in the University of Limerick has been sort of the brainchild behind this. And the idea is exactly that. You click on whichcandidate.ie and you scroll down and you find out which candidate most equates to your particular view. So I think Roisin is quite right, and we've been trying to do something in the academic community. We're not all just sort of policy wonks who just talk to our students or do nothing else. We're trying to make a contribution to civic life. And it's a good point, though, in relation to teaching electoral sort of civics math, because a lot of people simply don't know. I mean, there's issues with the ballot paper. Some of them, they're going to be extremely long, for instance, particularly in the Midlands, Northwest and South, over 20-odd candidates. And people get sometimes confused. And I'm sort of sick to the back teeth of having people come to me sometimes saying, well, I'm not really sure what happened to, I just vote number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 because there's only 5 seats or whatever the case may be. And I'm a strong believer that the more education we have in our policy, the better, which is why I'm a big supporter of these posters. And just to go back to a brief point this made, certainly money does make a difference in politics. That's the reason we ban political advertising on radio and television. And I do think the state, as all other states need to do, is to get a grip on this whole online advertising. But it's easier said than done, and Liz will know more about it than
Liz,
I think is an important point.
Is it going to be monitored enough to make sure that there isn't misleading advertising in what goes out in these social media ads, particularly if they're deliberately targeted to perceived prejudices of particular voters?
But, you know, the short answer is no. So we, you know, the Dáil tried to introduce new laws on online ads as part of the Electoral Act that passed, and that, you know, we now have our Electoral Commission, which is fantastic. And, you know, they're charged with doing some of that voter education that Gary was talking about. But the parts of that law that relate in particular to online advertising, they've been paused because there's a bit of a fight going on between Dublin and Brussels on kind of who is responsible for that and how it's going to work. So there are some issues with this. You know, the platforms have sort of, they're voluntarily making some of this information and data available. Meta is better. You know, I think they've been under a lot of scrutiny. This is Facebook and Instagram than, you know, Google's okay. Twitter's appalling, very hard to sort of understand what's going on there. It all seems to be these kind of good faith efforts. And one thing that I would add, which I think is very important, is, you know, as Gary was saying, there are really strict laws around spending and whose money is spent and where the money comes from. But because we're kind of leaving this to private companies, they're putting in place sort of what I'd call nearly half measures. So, for example, if you want to run a Facebook ad, they'll check that you are X candidate or Y candidate. But, you know, anybody's credit card can be used. The money can kind of come from anywhere in order to do that. And that's not linked up with the declarations that candidates will be making in a couple of months' time. And when that data comes out, like, you know, I've tried to look through it, there's 130-something pages of scanned handwritten documents to try and connect up the dots around this. So we're a really far way behind using a lot of this tech, which is, you know, helping, it can help campaigns. But it can also, it's not being used for the accountability side.
Okay.
And we're relying on companies' kind of goodwill to make sure that we're not missing stuff. And I'm sure we are missing stuff. And there's all sorts of ads going around which we can't follow, we can't trace, and aren't making it into these databases.
And which may not be necessarily true either. Liz Carolyn from thebriefing.ie, Gary Murphy from Dublin City University, thank you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.
As a major research institution, Arizona State University offers the most online bachelor's degree programs, along with world-class faculty and dedicated support. Discover why ASU is ranked number one in innovation for 9 consecutive years. Tap to learn more.